yourself, O merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay from now on. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Ooh, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the season
Albany Pro Musica will present its annual concert, A Winter Wonderland, this weekend at the Carondelet Hospitality Center in Latham. Albany Pro Musica is a mixed chorus that brings a pleasing and robust texture to familiar holiday songs and classic repertoire. David Griggs Janauer is artistic director and conductor of Pro Musica and director of choral music and professor at the University at Albany, State University of New York, where he's taught since 1981. He joins us this morning for a preview of their annual Christmas concerts, and it's always a pleasure to welcome him to our microphones. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Good morning, Joe. Good to be here.
Well, wonderful to have you here. I didn't realize this when I went on your website, that these concerts kick off your season.
They do this year. Because we were with the Albany Symphony in October, not our own subscription concert, but one of theirs, we're actually just starting our own season now.
So that's
kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's a nice way to kick it off.
It's a great way, and it's given us lots of time to sort of get into our season.
So give us a sense of Carondelet Hospitality Center in Latham, of how that became a venue for you.
You know, for years my students had been performing at St. Louis Retirement Center in Menands, and one day somebody said, come to my place, I'd love you to give a concert there, and it was Carondelet. And we went, and it's just stunningly beautiful, bright, lots of light, and terrific acoustics. And I said, I'd like Pro Musica to be here too, and we've been doing it ever since.
That's great.
It's just a wonderful venue. I have to tell you, though, that the sun at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, the sun comes in, and last year it was so bright during our concerts that the singers started shading their eyes during the performance.
Well,
the streams, you know, the dust in the stream looked a little bit like snow.
Well, that's good. Give it a festive look, right. and bright and joyous for the holiday season. So when you put together a concert like this, we've been talking about this a lot over the last couple of days, because we've talked about people about the Nutcracker and about A Christmas Carol. People come for the familiar, don't they?
I think they do. You know, early on I used to do things like Gabrielli and Schütz and all those household names in about 3 households in the world.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and you know, my interest was really the historical canon of holiday music. But more and more I like to combine familiar works with less familiar works, but really wonderful, beautiful poetry, beautiful melodies. I like melody. I like harmony. We're singers. We harmonize.
Yep.
And I love to include things like this year, Winter Wonderland and Let It Snow. It's the most wonderful time of the world. People like to have a good time at concerts. They shouldn't be about education. They should be about fun and inspiration and the seasonal message, it seems to me.
What is your feelings on sing-along?
I like sing-alongs. And we've always done sing-along carols in these Christmas concerts. We'll do a couple this time. I think the audience has an awful lot of people who love to sing, and they don't want to just sit in those pews and watch us. They want to participate. So I love to have them sing with us.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if you were like, oh, boy. Here they
no,
go.
But maybe not. Maybe not the entire Messiah. But Christmas carols, I think that's terrific. And I can't imagine why any chorus would want to do Christmas carols, the traditional carols, without people singing along.
Yeah, have you, you join
so
in?
So, Joy to the World, Silent Night.
Yeah, that's great. And what is it about? So, when you put a concert, this particular concert, let's say, which again is Saturday night and Sunday afternoon, what can people expect? So, how will it unwrap to keep a holiday?
You know, one of the things that's hardest for me is to find a flow finally after I choose my repertoire, to see how a concert's going to progress, a little bit like a play or a book would progress,
yeah.
A little bit. And so we start with some pieces about the mystery of Christmas. In fact, 2 pieces that have mystery in their title. One is O Great Mystery, O Magnum Mysterium, which has probably thousands of settings over the years. And we've progressed from the beginnings of Christmas a little bit to Shepherds and Kings and to more familiar music. And a lot of this concert happens to be about the secular side of Christmas, which is why it's called A Winter Wonderland. Mm. We also have, toward the end, We Wish You Merry Christmas, and as I mentioned, Let It Snow, and a piece called The Christmas Can-Can, which was written for and made famous by Straight No Chaser. And it's just a riot. And it takes us a little out of our comfort zone as we have to act as well as sing and be a little silly, but it's terrific. And I think that there's a sort of a flow, I hope, that the audience will find a flow from the serious to the more relaxed piece of Christmas.
It seems, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems, and in looking at the rest of your season, which is, it's like your version of a Pops concert in the sense of it's something that people can relate to. I don't want to say more lighthearted because it would then indicate
well,
that the rest
of
it's
a little of both.
Yeah,
it has certainly lighthearted pieces, and I like the idea that we should be lighthearted. We're not about educating people at these concerts, but I also want people to hear some of pieces that I've discovered that I think are absolutely fabulous with poetic, beautiful texts. I think they should hear those too. So the balance for me is always an issue, trying to get some of that serious music and text, and then the lighter things. And it's also a family concert in lots of ways. Lots of people bring kids, and kids can't listen to 60 minutes of slow music, nor can adults.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a lot.
Yeah. And so we go back and forth, fast and slow and light and secular and sacred and so on.
You came in a Santa hat. Will
I
see
did.
The Santa hat on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, in fact, last year when the sun was streaming in, people were complaining that it was shining brightly off my bald spot, so I might have to put my hat on.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah, it's really not, Joe. It's really not nice.
Yeah. Oh, our friends. When this is done, give us a sense of how the rest of the season rolls out.
Well, right after Christmas, we start working again on our March concert, which is about love. It's a almost completely secular concert on various aspects of love, but I've really used it as an excuse to pull together my favorite choral love songs that I've found over the last 10 years. And we have a lot of arts and ed programs in the spring, as we always do. And then we end the season with Bach's St. Matthew Passion, which for me is perhaps the greatest work of art ever. Stunningly amazing piece.
You've used this word a couple of times today, and of finding and things that you've found. Is there an exploratory vein to this where there are things that almost like an archaeological dig where you are trying to find works, choral works that lend themselves not only to you, but sort of fill in the blanks in a history that may not be overly apparent by the general repertoire?
Well, it's really more like a current layer of archaeology. There is so much good music being written, and now technologically it's so easily available. For instance, the composer Bob Chilcott, who used to be a famous boy soprano and now was with the King Singers and now is a composer, he writes stunning music. And to find this piece or 20 pieces out of the 150 or 300 that come across my desk every year, that's part of what I have to do. I love it when I discover something and say, my God, that piece is fabulous. I can't wait to perform it.
So that's new stuff.
That's new stuff.
Now, what about old stuff?
Well, I've been in the business a long time now.
Okay.
And there's not much old stuff that I don't already know sometimes. And I come back to the pieces that I have loved over the years, and I come back sometimes to pieces that I knew once but have never performed. But I'm more and more interested in contemporary expressions. Some of my singers tell me I seem to be more and more interested in communicating to the audience rather than teaching them about music. And I like to think I do both, but I think that's a good thing. I think this is a terrific time to communicate to the people in our pews, so to speak.
Because we see this in theater a lot, where there will be what is considered to be an obscure play. It can be by a very well-known playwright, but it can be an obscure play of something that was done and perhaps did not receive the acclaim that the other works that they have done did, or that it was overlooked for whatever reason, or because of world events, or whatever the case may be. And not that you don't know about them, but they just sort of get lost in there. And I assume that they creep in there.
There are lots of pieces like that. Yeah. Last year I did with my students a new old piece by Bach.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of thing. It was languishing, and it was ascribed to the wrong Bach and so on. But it's not so interesting to me to do that, because I find that the more obscure pieces tend to be obscure for a reason. And I look at them and I say, I understand.
Man, I agree with you there.
I know why that piece is not being done over the years. It's a B-plus piece, and I want to do an A-plus piece.
Yeah. No, that's a great point, because you hear a name sometimes and they say, oh, this is Arthur Miller's third play, and it didn't do really well, but it's, you know, and you've never heard of it, and then you see it and you're like,
and now you know why.
Now you know why. Yeah.
There's some Dvorak masses that are never done, and people go, have you ever done the Dvorak mass? And I go, no, and I'm probably not ever going to do that Dvorak mass. Sorry if Dvorak fans are out there.
Well, it's all fine. But the interest in the contemporary fascinates me, because we think of our current arts situation, and I guess we've been thinking about this for a long time now, that it's suffering in some sense, as far as not in talent certainly, but by resources and by the money that we put in our schools and so forth. So the fact that there's really great, wonderful stuff that's out there seems refreshing to me.
And in the choral field, it's very common, and it's really wonderful. And part of that is that we are, on the whole, mostly non-professionals in terms of getting paid.
Right.
So that somebody can write a choral piece and send it around to choruses, and we can all perform it and pay for the privilege of doing that, but the expenses are not great. Whereas if the Albany Symphony had to do that, the expense would be much greater for them. So we in the choral field are a real home for new composers. And in fact, there are five or six on this concert whose works I've done in the past few years, and they've sent me new works, and I've looked at them and I said, well, this one will really work for us. It's sort of an old sensibility of harmony, melody, and rhythm, traditional kinds of sounds, but with some modern, slightly modern idioms. There's nothing modern about these pieces, but, you know, they're informed by pop music or by jazz or just richer harmonies than you might find in Mozart, and they're very attractive to me.
So to me, it's a testament to you specifically and to the organization overall that the audiences come to this and perhaps are unaware of the music that you're performing, but it doesn't matter because they have a trust in you and they have a trust in what has been chosen and the craftsmanship of the chorus as a whole.
Well, thank you for that. I think there's some truth to that for a few hundred people who will come and say, I won't know what I'm getting, but I know I'll like what I get. And at Christmas, I think everybody feels that way, because we take such care of the organization with how we craft the program. It's a special time of year for all of us, Christians, Jews, whatever we are.
Right.
I'm Jewish, but there's nothing like Christmas music for me.
Sure.
And I think our audience has to leave saying, my God, I just love the last hour and a half I spent here.
That's wonderful. Yeah, you know, there's wonderful theater groups, and you look at their season and you say, I don't know any of this, but I know that everything I go to is going to be really cool.
That's right. And you take a chance.
Because you trust them, and you know the organization, and it's same with you. When the ASO thing went well, that was great?
That was great fun. We had a good time.
Wonderful. And then will you be with them again, or are you... You're solo for the rest of the...
We'll be with them next year, but we're done with them for the year, I think.
Excellent. You can find out more information about the Winter Wonderland performances this weekend, as well as the entire season for Albany Pro Musica, by going to albanypromusica.org, albanypromusica.org. And again, the concerts are Saturday night at... I had it. Saturday night at
Carondelet.
Yes, but what time?
7:30.
7:30 at, both of these are at the Carondelet?
I'm not sure.
Hospitality Center in Latham, New York at 7:30 and then 3 o'clock on Sunday, yes?
Right, and they're selling very well, so people who are interested should go to our website.
Hurry up. albanypromusica.org. David Griggs, Jen Auer, it's always a pleasure and a great treat to have you in our studio. I wish you all the luck in the world. Have a wonderful, wonderful and musical weekend and a glorious holiday season, and we'll talk very soon.
Thanks, Joe. Same to you.
Look forward to it. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.